Hey there, this is Seth Juarez coming to you from the Moscone Center in San Francisco, California. This is Build 2016, and I thought we would have a discussion about XAML. It's an interesting, powerful thing, and I thought we'd bring some folks on to talk about it. Why don't we introduce ourselves? Tell us who you are, what you do.
Sure. My name's James Clark. I'm a program manager, and my team works on the composition engine, or we call it the visual layer of Windows, and this is sort of the thing that underpins the UI frameworks.
Interesting. So this is the Windows aspect then?
This is the Windows aspect.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Ryan Demopoulos. I'm a program manager lead on the XAML for UWP team,
okay.
Windows XAML. I work primarily on like the graphics system, the text system, a lot of the underpinnings and how we kind of hook into the various subsystems in Windows.
Got it.
And I'm Anita Vindranathan. Mm-hmm. My team actually owns the tools for building some of these apps that you might have done so before.
That's awesome. So there are a number of people that are still old school Battleship WinForm stuff. What is the pitch for going to XAML? I know the pitch that I would give, but I'd rather have you tell people that are watching why you should consider XAML as something to use. We'll start over here.
Well, my team comes at this from enabling the richest kind of visualizations in Windows. So when we invest in things like our brand new blur effect, we're very excited about, we light this up for all Windows apps. But we expose it really well out through the visual layer, and through the XAML layer, and we make sure that when you kind of come in and build those kind of apps, you can build beautiful experiences, and that's what we really care about, is enabling beautiful experiences.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because literally there's an artistry there that you can have in XAML that you can't have otherwise, right? When you're doing just pointy kite stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, just to piggyback off of what James said, like James's team really represents kind of what we're trying to do for XAML in Windows. You know, UWP just allows you to reach across all those different types of devices in a way that really hasn't been possible in kind of like the previous technologies that you think of when you think of like the XAML family of technologies. But with XAML and UWP and with things like the visual layer, you now get to tap into where so much of our focus and attention is going into innovating, making sure that you can make really beautiful apps that go all the way across the PC, to the phone, and to the Xbox, and we've had a lot of discussion about that at this Build conference as well. So it's really about being able to reach a broad set of devices and about being able to create a really premium experience in your app.
And Uni, obviously.
And to me, the word I've been saying, like, I don't know, 20 times today, productivity. Like, productive. It's really fast and easy to learn, use, great tools, easy to get started. And like I said, like these guys said, it's all about beautiful apps and how quickly can you make them.
So I have seen, and this is maybe because I'm dense as a programmer, right? Because I do programs sometimes, right? It feels like there's like a little bit of a hill to climb with XAML. What are some things that I can do as a developer to ease that climb?
So first of all, I think if you're a C# developer, you're kind of somewhat there because
right.
In many ways, it's just a fancy way of describing a hierarchy of objects. You know, ultimately, it's that, and that helps. If you already have knowledge of XAML from a prior incarnation, like WPF, you can bring that knowledge pretty much as it is to, you know, the XAML for Windows 10 or even Xamarin Forms. Like,
right.
That's all fairly compatible. If you're new completely to C# and XAML, I would say start with C# first. Get yourself familiar with C# a little bit. And then, from there on, like, it should not be that much more to, you know, get ramped up with XAML.
And that's interesting, right? Because the way you described it to me was very interesting. You said it's sort of a declarative way of talking about a bunch of objects,
yep.
Essentially,
yep.
Right? And your team, what it's doing is that declarative way is getting optimized to do very specific things in the OS, to enable very beautiful things in the store, and then to make wonderful applications that work across many different things. So let's talk about then, what are some of the features in there that you guys are just really excited about from the past, from the present, and then moving forward?
Do you want to, let's start with beautiful apps.
Yeah,
let's start with beautiful apps. Why don't you
awesome.
Kick us into that?
Man, there's a lot of exciting stuff that we had a chance to talk about at the Build conference today. You know, for me personally, because I work kind of the graphics layer and I work with James on the visual layer stuff, it's, you know, the big exciting stuff is the new capabilities that exist in the visual layer that you can now get at starting from XAML objects. So we have an API called Element Composition Preview that basically allows you to take a XAML object, you can essentially suck out a visual that exists at the visual layer. That's the windows.ui.composition namespace. And you can go and use that visual to do all kinds of interesting effects. You can add things like drop shadows and blurs. You can go and animate things around. There's a sophisticated kind of story around the different types of animations that you can do. James might be able to share more with that. But you can basically have that sort of crafted experience in your app that really has been extremely difficult, or in some cases not even really possible to achieve in XAMLin UWP in the past. We've really unlocked the ability to add that extra level of polish so that you can differentiate in the store. You know, we have thousands and thousands of apps in the store, but we really want to start moving into a direction where we have crafted, you know, very polished apps that are extremely compelling.
And that's interesting because I don't think people realize, and I talked to someone in Germany, or she was from Germany, she was a UX UI expert, and she said that animation can be used as part of the user experience to help indicate functionality, to help indicate things in a program that are important. And I don't think we're using that enough, and now you're enabling these kinds of experiences. Can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic point, because you know, one of the things that we've worked together jointly on to enable is something we call connected animations. And this is where, if you think of a kind of a common app where you have a details list and then kind of, a master list and then details, whenever you click on something in the list, you want the sort of context to carry across. And it's been very hard to achieve that in the past, so our teams have worked together. We have this new great feature called connected animations that allow you to, so for example, if you click on a list and you have a profile picture, that profile picture kind of flies and lands on the details page, giving you that sense of context, exactly as you were saying.
Because, I mean, it could be kind of jarring if all of a sudden, pop, something happens and you don't have context of where it's coming from, a subtle animation. And I say subtle, right, because some people might go a little crazy.
The blink tag.
Yeah, because the blinks, thank you. We don't have that in XAML, right?
No,
he's like, no, we don't. What are some experiences that you've seen enabled with these kinds of animations? And I saw, by the way, there's a pre-record on how to enable these. It's quite amazing how fast and how fluid and how beautiful these things
are. Well, I think the fast and fluid part speaks to how we've been working together as teams. So like, we've made these investments at lower in the platform to make things possible, and then the intent is over time we make them easy by exposing them out through the visual there. In terms of some of the experiences, I think there's some great examples. There's sort of the pull to refresh, where we did a talk and we had a cycling app, and we were able to build this really subtle kind of like cog animation representing the pedal, and as you sort of drag, it sticks to your finger and looks really nice. We had the sort of pull to blur effects, where you know the header kind of, as you drag down, it nicely blurs. I think the other one that was really exciting was layer animations, and this is where if you think of an application getting resized, oftentimes that can be a very jarring experience because it resizes and then it kind of snaps at the end. And again, using kind of a combination of technologies that we put together, we can now do this really nice resize animations. And the awesomeness is that it's still a grid. It's not a new control. You don't have to go and build and learn a whole new set of stuff. We just make it fluid by default.
One of the cool things that I saw is that you're also able to define animations that help trigger other object animations to move alongside the others without having to specify for every single one. Because back in the days with GDI Plus, right, you'd have to literally become like this mathematician to start drawing things, but now you can actually control animations per element and have those influence others, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we have this really powerful feature that we actually introduced back in the November update for Windows called Expression Animations. And this is where you can essentially define a set of rules using kind of set of operators and a sort of simple kind of mini language that says, you know, when this element moves, this other one needs to be related to it, you know, at this speed. And we then give all of that to the composition engine, which means we can then go and compose at 60 frames a second and make these calculations. And so even if the UI thread is busy kind of downloading data, you never see any glitches. So we're really trying to architect to make these fluid experiences possible.
So look, Uni. This all sounds all good and well, but then some programmer has to build it. And SuDev is going to be like, this sounds complicated. Help us out with the tooling.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things that we are prioritizing. One of them is, to sort of help the scenario, is we want to build great inspection tools. So you can go take a look at when something goes wrong. Like, we've built, you know, in this release, we're going to focus on what we call essentially edit and continue, but bringing that to XAML as well. Remember I said XAML and C# have this strong synergy?
Right.
We want to make it possible so that they actually work together inside Visual Studio as well in a very seamless way. Work we are doing for the composition team includes being able to visualize like layers and things like that in our inspection tools, so you can know when something is wrong and it can diagnose issues as well. And finally, we're doing work in the platform and tools to bring some of those common issues to your fingertips. It's very hard for you to know, you know, especially when you're on time crunch to go look for these things. So we're building this tool called Application Analysis, which automatically analyzes your application for, you know, we basically look at what people are doing out there, what are the most common pitfalls that they're falling into, and building tools that bring these to your fingertips so that with a single double click, you can basically go to the source of the problem and then you can choose to fix it.
So there is some thought out there, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because it seems like there's a lot of work happening in the OS to ameliorate this problem, but some have surmised that XAML is just going to be a little bit slower because it's all vector stuff. Whereas in GDI Plus or WinForms, old Battleship Gray stuff, it's literally points and everything happens a little bit faster. Have we done some stuff to speed up or improve sort of XAML applications?
I mean, let's take apples to apples. Visual Studio was written in the technologies that you named 10 years ago, and then we rewrote in WPF XAML, and it's fantastic. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, guess what? Like, if it's that much more productive for me to do something, I can spend that little bit of time to make a performance tweak here and there.
Sure.
And ultimately, it works great. Right. So there's no concerns there.
And there's some speed ups that you're doing at the OS level, though, which is different, right?
Yeah, like bindings
and also in the XAML framework, too.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about the OS level and then get into the binding?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we're really trying to solve it holistically and look at, you know, here's a XAML app and how do we make it render screamingly fast. And so by offloading a whole bunch, as much as we can to the compositor, we actually free up the framework layer itself from having to kind of deal with some of this. And so because our visual layer kind of is highly tuned to run well on all of the different platform targets, including on ARM processors, we hope that we can kind of invest there to really take away the problems from the framework having to go solve them. You know, so one example is like we get the request a lot, like where's Radial Gradient Brush? And that's a classic example of if we can implement that in the composition engine, we can really, you know, optimize the heck out of the shaders and just then expose it out through XAML.
And as you talk about this, I'm hearing a lot of graphics terms that theoretically the UWP developer should never even have to really worry about, because is this stuff being farmed off to DirectX or is it being farmed off
So we talk heavily to DirectX, and we're really abstracting that very low level sort of talking to the driver from the upper layers in the stack, which means that in the framework itself, we can focus on the things like, you know, data binding, accessibility, layout, the things that belong in a framework and add unique value there, but actually, you know, focus on having this layer underneath that can really address what you were saying about making the rendering really fast.
All right, let's talk about the optimizations and the binding and other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're keenly aware of concerns around performance, and, you know, in previous versions of XAML on Windows, we've had what I often call just kind of the object explosion. You know, you put like an angle bracket button, and then when you actually go in and inspect and take a look at the automation peers, you take a look at the DOs and the things that get created, there's a lot of objects that are created, and it takes time to create those objects, it takes memory to go and hold them.
Sure.
And that's something that we're very, very keenly aware of. And so we've done a lot of work leading up until now, and we'll continue to do work to try and solve that sort of object explosion problem. And we've done things like XBind and code generation that allows us to be faster in being able to kind of new up objects. If you think of Windows and you think of like, what is the UI in Windows that has to be blazing fast? You think of things like the taskbar and the start menu and Action Center and some of the core pieces of the shell. And those things have been transitioned over onto the XAML for Windows technology now. So, you know, the start menu runs with XAML, and we've been able to make the optimizations that we need to make to go and light those experiences up. But we've been doing it in a tactical way where we're like, okay, well, what are the things we have to, you know, get faster and better for the start menu so we can at least stand that experience up? And then how can we go and broaden that out? And I think we're now kind of in the phase moving forward of wanting to take more aggressive action and be able to broaden out the kind of improvements that we can do. The app analysis stuff that Uni was talking about internally on our team, we've called it Shane in a box, because as a developer on our team, His name is Shane, and he was the guy who like worked with the Start Menu team to go and like optimize as much as we could to go and get that experience really good. And now we want to be able to identify that in any app and to say like, hey, here's some things that you're doing that could really, you know, reduce the tree and speed things up. And it, there's going to be a lot of emphasis on that moving forward.
And I like the fact that we're not just saying here, we're throwing this sort of XAML stuff over the wall. We're saying we're willing to bet on it to the point where we're putting it in our OS and we're optimizing. And so we're dog fooding this stuff as well.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Now, let's move to the next topic, which, and I've done videos with you on this. You mentioned that some of the stuff is moving to DirectX when you're doing some of the rendering. But when it comes to UWP, we've done something where we wrote something and it went to the phone and it went to the store and it went to sort of this IoT Raspberry Pi device. How do you make that sort of all work in with the same kind of speed? You can't, right?
I mean, a good example is like a PC and an Xbox.
Right.
Like those are in many ways kind of having very similar performance characteristics,
sure.
And those are good. But you're right, like if it's an IoT that doesn't have a GPU or something like that, for the most part, like, or some of them do these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, some of them do.
Some of them do. Some of them
they
do.
Yeah,
we've got one actually in
all of these.
James is just dying to answer this question because we've got a dragon board running
oh
some stuff.
Oh my goodness.
So.
Okay, well, you hold on to that because if you're going to finish it.
No, so yeah, so I mean, the framework is actually doing, like, all these terms we use out there, people don't have to worry for the most part. The framework does the right adaptation to the right graphics hardware. And it does the right thing for you in terms of you don't have to worry about, you know, the device that you're running on. You just have to focus upon the experience you want to deliver. And in some cases, you may have to do some more adaptive code and things like that. So you light up the right UX on the right device. But beyond that, like, you know, these are all like Windows does the right thing for the
most part. That's interesting because remember I came to Uni a couple of months ago. I'm like, hey. We keep talking about how these things work everywhere, but I haven't seen it. And we actually was like, oh, we'll come by, we'll spend a half day, and we made a video. We built this, and then we deployed it. And then it looked ugly on one, great on the other. He's like, next video. Let's make it look pretty on this one while still having the code base. Done. All right, now let's show you how to actually deploy it. And so it's not like this is not fake. This is real. So let's get into the sort of the smiley stuff that you're really excited about.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I'm smiling is because a whole bunch of people back in Redmond went to, you know, we've had a crazy couple of weeks. And one of the things we were doing, you know, the week before the conference was just trying to bring up some of our demos on a number of different devices. And so we had an Xbox and we had this Dragon Board 410C, which is, it is an IoT device that has a hardware accelerated graphics driver for it, believe it or not.
Wow.
And we actually have it here. And so we built some pretty crazy kind of examples of just trying to show off some of the possibilities. And we sort of threw it on this Dragon Board. It worked and it looked really, really good. And that really sort of validated what we've been trying to build and come up with this LED architecture where we really do try and write everything only once, optimize the heck out of it, and have it work as well as it can across the different hardware platforms.
That's a good feeling as a dev, right? When you're like, oh, it worked, and you're like, well, of course it worked. Right? And so that's kind of neat that we have these tiny little IoT boards that can literally be a kiosk.
Yeah.
Instead of having to buy a machine, this could be a kiosk.
Yeah.
It can be the same UWP app that you have on your desktop, that you have on your phone if you retrofit it, that you can have on this Dragon Board, even if it's using some awesome sort of effects and animations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'd love to come on Channel 9 in the future and maybe do some demos of this.
Oh, man,
you're
speaking my language, man.
Yeah, that's some cool stuff. That's some
really
cool stuff.
So we've talked a lot about sort of where we are now. Looking forward, is there anything you can talk about sort of the future of XAML? I know that's the name of the session. Let's just start with each one of you and see what you have to say.
Well, you know, I keep harping on about the visual layer, and you know, the investments we make there really unlock new capabilities in apps, and we're just very focused on enabling the most beautiful experiences possible. And so, you know, we evaluate things on the basis of what are the gaps, what are the things that we know are missing, what are the things that, you know, our dear friends in WPF land have had and we want to bring to UWP. So that's kind of one bucket. There's another bucket of things like, you know, what about physics-driven animations? You know, what about physics-driven layout, those kind of things? You know, I'm not announcing anything. We're merely just thinking about areas that we want to investigate.
Is there a place where people can go and be like, hey, I have this suggestion?
There's a couple of places, but I think the one that we want to pimp most is our Twitter handle, which is @WindowsUI, which is a brand new handle that we've kind of been launching at the show.
Hey.
And this is really, you know, a place where we get a lot of our developers tweeting animated GIFs at us of like, look at what we built. We also tweet out animated GIFs of stuff we build. We also use it as a way of receiving feedback and, you know, highly encourage anyone that's passionate about UX and UI and, you know, UWP development to follow us there for sure.
I just tweeted it while you were saying it and awesome. I followed you.
We love you, sir. We love you, sir. Thank
nice.
You.
So we're talking about the future of XAML from your perspective.
Yeah, you know, it starts kind of with the visual layer and broadens out even beyond that. If you think of, you know, what is XAML for UWP, it's really a framework on top of a bunch of Windows subsystems that each one of those subsystems is powerful and can enable you to do all kinds of interesting things. There's a new media WinRT media player that was just released from one team. There's the visual layer stuff that has come online. XAML kind of aggregates those things and tries to make it easier and unlock those technologies for you. And we've, you know, been kind of going through a journey in XAML. I think it's going to continue quite aggressively over the next little while, where we're beginning to kind of get out of the business or uncouple ourselves from having our own animation system, from having our own way of rendering things, or having our own way of doing media, and trying to really surface and bring up all the different subsystems of the UWP platform. We introduced the media player element recently, which basically wraps that media player so that now you're not just stuck with whatever properties we went and exposed, but you can actually go and get the actual media player object underneath and set audio endpoints and do things that you were never able to do before. It's the same with the visual layer. I think that is going to continue, where XAML becomes kind of a lighter layer on top of these Windows systems and allows you to more directly plug into them and do really powerful stuff.
So I love the fact that we're all in from an OS perspective, and that this is going to be made better. Without having any sort of developer intervention, so to speak, things will just be better even with the XAML that you have. But as a developer, what are some of the things we're going to try to do with tooling to help sort of this process?
I mean, you said that well. Like, to me, I would like to judge myself by how easy do we make it in Visual Studio for you to do some of these fancy things that they're talking about and make it more accessible to the common man and woman out there. Like, that's really, you know, my goal and my deliverable. So some of the things that we're doing here, certainly in Visual Studio 15, are helpful in terms of the tools that we're building. But we want to make it much more easy for you to express yourself in terms of, you know, composing parts of your idea together quickly. We don't do that today. We give you lots of nuts and bolts, and we let you stitch them together.
Right.
But I would love to, for us to take a step back and give you like more logical pieces that you as a human being tend to think about, and then you want to sort of like put them together. So we want to do some work there to make it easy to sort of design building blocks and then stitch them together. How that really manifests itself, I don't have a great idea. You know, I mean, I have some ideas, but nothing yet put on paper.
Right.
But that's the direction that, you know, we want to go towards.
And that's interesting, because that's like almost leveling up the developer automatically.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, here's a button, instead we say, here's an interaction that might be helpful in this case.
By the way, it's not at all contradictory to what Ryan just said. We want to give you the power to do things, but we want to make as many people use that as well as possible. And some of this requires us to do work elsewhere as well.
So we have about a minute left. So can you tell us where can people go to sort of learn more about the work that you're doing? You mentioned that the Twitter handle. Why don't we just, where can we go to find out more?
Well, from our perspective, and to some extent from both our perspectives, we've also got in addition to the Twitter handle, we've got a new place to go on GitHub, which is github.com/WAC Microsoft WAC. And now you're going to have to help me run.
go to aka.ms WAC WinUI Labs.
Got it.
Yep. So WinUI Labs is really the place that we want to do some of the more forward-looking, future-looking stuff. You know, we're shipping source code for things like a backdrop control that allows you to kind of do a nice blur in the app. And so it's a place where you can learn about stuff. There's a lot of great links off to our talks and other resources there. And I think we want to kind of put more great stuff there over time.
Nice. What about you? What would you suggest?
Yeah, James stole a lot of my thunder, because actually what we've been trying to do is create a unified place where we can go. So we're following the exact, we're at the same Twitter handle, we're at the same GitHub repo, and it's because we want to be about the Windows UI platform and about one place to go. And so we're all actively participating at the same spot. So that's where you go. That's
awesome.
The spot. You can also get traditional UWP samples at aka.ms/wac UWP samples, which is a link that's worked for a while. And there's lots of, you know, like samples on controls, which are extremely core and central to XAML as well. Everyone wants more controls and new controls.
Right.
We announced a few here at Build, and we're always thinking about building new ones as well. But so you can get samples on those things as well.
Of course, there's dev.windows.com, which is our home for all of these things, and we hope to bring them all together in a package that you can easily discover. I personally think there's a great set of tutorial videos that we have recorded as a part of actually Channel 9. It's actually a 100-part video series, something like that. But you don't need to do those 100 parts. Pick and choose the pieces. It's I think nicely segmented.
Awesome.
That's a pretty good resource.
Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We're learning about the future of XAML. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9 at Build 2016. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.